wife, that she should be blessed. Usually drops me near the bus stop. It's a 5-10 minute walk otherwise from the house. So she normally drops me near the bus stop in the car. So this morning she did that, like every morning. I got out of the car, and my daughter, who happened to be in the back of the car, calls out from the back, "Abba's disappeared." Well, what do you mean Abba's disappeared? He's disappeared! One moment I was there, next I wasn't. I'm like, well, that's comic, right? I fell down this, for a start, it was a big mess that I wasn't injured. Almost completely at all. I had a back twinge, remember, on the first day. Baruch Hashem, it's almost gone now. But everything else, Tom, I later did a pigeon with Frida downstairs. Your feet. But anyway, I was trying to work out, what is this thing? Right, it was completely not normal, and it was min hashamayim, and I didn't get hurt, but it was mamasha. Hashem was trying to tell me something here. What's going on? So I've been trying to figure out, what's Hashem trying to tell me? Fair, but what's the message for me? So what's my message? So I wasn't really sure. I got to the fact that maybe Hashem wanted me, bring me down a bit, gava, top. But it went, there's lots of ways that, it was a bit too, wasn't really doing it. Anyway, Wednesday, my wife goes to the Baba Sali. If you haven't been down to Nativot, to the Baba Sali, you should go there. Praying at Kivrei Tzaddikim is an amazing experience. Each kever has its own special, unique ta'am, taste, flavor. According to who was there, if you're Chevron, this is for me, this is my, everyone has their own, I guess, Hagashot feelings. But Chevron, for me, Marat Machpelah, the Avot, it's just Kedusha. It's just like, you just walk in, you just Kedusha everywhere. The Kever Rachel, that's just pure compassion. If you want to go cry, go to Kever Rachel. And Baba Sali, miracles. If you want miracles, openly sin, just go to the Baba Sali. Because that's who he was. He did openly sin. He would pour arak with a towel around it, and he'd pour for 200 people and then keep pouring. Right? He was Mamash. The Baba Sali was your miracle man. If you ever want miracles, basically, you want stuff to move. And if something's not moving in your life and you want to see some change, like it's about time I saw some change, you'll see some change. It might not be great. The previous time my wife went, we had a crash and everything started to change, and it was a big test for us, but it did a lot of good things. Anyway, so she came back from Baba Sali. My wife was doing his buddhism there. And my wife has a way of doing his body that involves, she writes things down. Like I guess most of us, I don't know, can't speak for everyone, but we do his body, we speak to Hashem, Tom. And then afterwards, what do you remember? Well, I remember I was thinking about, there was something, right? She's a lot more organized. She takes a pen, when stuff comes to her, she writes it down. So she wrote down a few things. One of the things she wrote down, in capitals underlined, very important, get the internet out of the house. Get the internet out of the house. She came back, she told me, I was doing it, but I do a lot of things, but this one, this is important, I just don't know, I just got this, this is what, I said, fine, it's okay with me. Since I've stopped working, I'm not using it now anyway. I use it once a week to post my shiur on the list. I have a shiur on Shabbat, and I post that on the local thing. So I had to get someone else to do that. But other than that, I'm not even gonna notice it. So I'm like, Tom, fine, let's do that. Not a problem. On Shabbat, yesterday, my wife is reading, so it all stuff comes to mind. My wife is reading one of Rav Shalom's more recent books, Gan Hadat, Perush on Bereshit. Tom, it's in Hebrew. Hebrew's not my wife's first language, but she's trying. So she's done like a page or two every day. She's been reading it for 6 months now. Slowly, top. Anyway, the page she happens to be reading on Shabbat, she suddenly hands me, but she says, read this. What does it say over there? Page 94, 98, somewhere like that. Anyone wants to look at it? It says, Rav Shalom writes there over there, having open internet in your house is like a bull who a shoot rubbing. It's like a pit in the public space. Bull who a shoot rubbing. Having open internet in your house. Open internet, not with remote. That's what happened to me. I have open internet in my house. Not deliberately. I had Remon, but my Remon lapsed a few months ago when my credit card lapsed. So it also lapsed. And I didn't bother renewing it. Why? Because I check my email once every week and I just posted the list. I don't look at the other stuff. So I thought, oh, don't even need it. Don't need to renew that. Don't need to worry about that. So I had there sitting in my house open internet. And Rav Arush says, having open internet in your house is like a bore, a pit in the public space.
What is open internet?
Meaning internet unfiltered. Unfiltered, without a filter.
There are also free programs for filtering.
It doesn't have to be Rimon. There are
K9, K9 Blue Code.
There are other ways of doing it too. But anyway, Dafka, and it was Bidiuk. What's going on? That was what was going on. Anyway, so Baruch Hashem. I wanted to just share that with you too. Everything is there. We don't know why. I didn't know for a week why that was happening, why I fell down a pit. But I asked a question. I asked Hashem, I said, Hashem, show me. What's going on? You're trying to tell me something here. This is not normal. Right? Anything that we have going on in our lives that's bothering us, annoying, and it can be stuff that's going on for years. How is it that I've still got this anger problem? Or why is it that my best friend from high school still isn't speaking to me after 20 years? Whatever it is that's bothering me. Or how come this morning the bus driver didn't let me get on the bus? Whatever, there is an answer and a reason for everything. And personally, if we want to know, if we want to have that conversation with Hashem, right, where Hashem is speaking to us all the time, and we want to know what we have, so we have to ask the question. And some things are obvious, and it comes to us right away, meaning that Hashem gives us that and illuminates our mind immediately. I just need to say, Hashem, why is my wife upset with me? And it's, oh, you're right. Tov. Right? And it's instantaneously. And Ilu, I thought it up myself. I didn't think anything. I can't think anything. I don't have the ability to create my own thoughts. Right? Hashem has given me everything. So sometimes it comes immediately, and I thought, oh, well, I thought that up. I thought the answer. Such a thing happened. Right? And sometimes it takes a while. But if I want to know, I just need to ask.
Hashem, can I share with you? You fell into the pit.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with the decision to take away the internet.
I hadn't taken it away. She came back on Wednesday.
The wife took it away anyway. Because she's fell into the pit or not.
She's more spiritually attuned. I fell into a pit because Hashem has probably been telling me for the last 3 months in other more subtle ways to get rid of the internet, and I just didn't hear it. And eventually, he had to throw me into a pit.
So you got the whole message.
So I got the message.
If you didn't fall into the pit, you would have taken the internet away anyway. Because your wife wanted it.
Nachon, but I needed to fall. I needed that to happen. And either way, we would have, Bezrat Hashem, because my wife had that message too, we would have taken it away. Bezrat Hashem. That I would have listened to that and gone ahead with it. But it's a question of whether or not that would have happened with me oblivious, and I don't see Hashem's hand, and I don't see the fact he's speaking to me. Or I can see the fact that he's speaking to me, and everything is perfectly organized and perfectly arranged. It's all midah keneged midah. Everything has its... It's all clear. Not just this happened, and then that happened. That the connections is really important for us to see.
You may not have fallen into the pit if you had taken it, if you had changed it earlier.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Right.
So only thing
was there, it was there to teach me something. It wasn't there to just to make me fall into a pit for the sake of. Plus, it's not that I got injured. So there was no kapara. It was a message. It wasn't like a kapara, an onesh that you need to. It was. What are you trying to tell me here? There's like. It's a clear message that you're trying to tell me. This was not a normal...
But falling into the pit may have been part of what triggered your wife to say, I'm going to Baba Sali.
Maybe.
He'd better do it, Baba Sali gave her the message of that.
Maybe. Uh-huh.
You got the whole message, though.
I don't know.
With or without the W.
I got some of it, at least. There's other parts of the message, too. Why did my back hurt?
Even without the W.
Huh? You'll strangle it in the future, so then the potential 3 months that the message is being delivered, then you'll be more connected, so you'll catch it earlier.
But that's Hashem. I mean, that's the, you know, the idea is that Hashem knocks quietly and gives a gentle whisper, and if we don't listen, then he gets louder and he gets louder. But it's all for our own good, that we move forward.
How do you know it's from Hashem, not from...
So everything, so the starting point is how do you know it's from Hashem? Everything is from Hashem. Everything. There's nothing that happens in this world randomly by chance. There's no such thing. Hashem doesn't create a world of randomness. If we look at the way the world is created in its infinite detail, each cell, each molecule, each atom, each you don't put that level of detail into everything on a microscopic level to a macroscopic level and then just let things happen randomly. We don't do anything without a purpose. You don't do anything in life without a purpose. Kol Shechem, all the more so, Hashem Yibarach doesn't do anything without a purpose. The whole of everything that is happening is a continuous dialogue. Everything has a reason, and it's just for us to understand, to get to know. We can't, Rav Nachman writes, we don't need to get to a place where we're going crazy. A person can make themselves in sugar by I walked on the stairs and someone walked past me and then someone, Tom, you don't go crazy. But that doesn't mean you ignore it completely, right? Everyone has to find their own balance of this. I need to go to the field and do it. What it is about this, Tom? If it comes to me, it comes to me. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But each person should know that that's available. That Hashem is speaking to constantly, continuously. That's his conversation. He doesn't text us. Right? Hashem doesn't send texts usually, right? Doesn't do that, but he does speak to us. We do have a conversation. Why does he speak to us in this way? Why doesn't he make it more clear? Why, if he wants to tell me, get rid of the internet, why don't I just get a message? Right? Because free choice. He's been telling me that for a while. I ignored it. I didn't want to hear it. It was convenient for me to ignore it, so I ignored it. It's a truth. Free choice. We can listen to the message or not. Oh, I'll tell you, it was a hand of day. Somebody. Everyone can always blame any circumstance on happenstance. But Hashem creates the world and it looks like that. Just happened to be there was a hole there and I just got out and it got me. And Tov, that's what these things happen. A person can choose that path too.
Well, it's free choice. I mean, if you're walking with your son, you're going to share something or show something. You're not going to let it fall.
But I am going to let him fall in the hole if it's going to save him. If letting him fall in a hole saves him from a much bigger danger, then for sure get in the hole. Right? And we all do that on each level. Right? We're mean to our kids, for example, if we're using the father-son analogy. Mean to our kids for their own good. Right? The kid wants another chocolate bar. No, you're not having it. But I really want it, Abba. I know you really want it. It's really going to make me happy. I know it's really going to make me happy. You're not having it. Right, and he gets upset and starts crying. We do that too. And if they're not getting the message, you stayed out late and you didn't tell me where you were, right? So I'm going to have to ground you, right? So that you get the message that is important, or whatever the consequences. Because we need to teach. And if they would have learned just by asking them, then there wouldn't be any consequence at all. There wouldn't be any negative consequence or punishment, if you want to call it. But because they're not listening, you've got no choice. And same with us. Because we're not listening, Hashem has no choice. It hurt him more than it hurt me. Right? Hashem cries for us more than we're upset. The father is far more upset than the child, and the child is upset. He's a true father. Right? So see your child unhappy, it's far more distressing for that, for the parents. They're true. You've got no choice. What else can you do? Hashem's loving parents, and he's right. Rav Joseph, we have to justify Hashem, and for sure Hashem is 100% right. And we can't, in terms of finding out what Hashem wants from us, he brings in Rav Arash brings in Steya Yah, that when we're doing his body dirt, we have to thank Hashem, and in God of thanks, God of gratitude, to I have to thank Hashem for falling down the pit. Thank you, Hashem, that you threw me in the pit. It was my mash of kindness. I just now need to know what that kindness was. My starting point is, whatever you just did to me, I don't understand it, and I didn't like it, and it hurt me, but thank you. Because whatever it was good. And from that place, I can now hear the good. If I'm at a place of arguing, and oh, I can't believe you threw me in a pit, and I can't believe I got hurt. How could you do that to me? Did I deserve that? What did I deserve that? What have I done? Then I'm never going to get the right answer. Because my mind's not open to receiving it. But once my mind's open to receiving it, thank you, Hashem, I know this is from you. I know it's for my good. I just don't know why. I don't know why you needed to do that to me. But for sure, you had your reasons. And I believe in you 100%. Now I'm open.
It's human to feel hurt or upset. Yeah.
It's a human trait. It's a trait that he gave us, but it's a trait that we have to work on. Right? We have lots of traits that are kilu human that he gave us, and we need to work on. And it's not. So read the Garden of Gratitude is a wonderful resource. Yes, Abraham.
After Gavalin, we read the 13 principles of Rambam. The first one is?
Shakurish Bahu Matsui Umashkiya. That's not the Rambam slot Lashon.
Yeah.
It's not in my sector.
Well, that's different to our version.
Okay.
Look, you wrote in Arabic, people translate.
Okay.
But the thing is that of 30 principles, the first at the beginning we say that we believe fully that Hashem is there and he is guiding and watching over every single moment.
Is, does, and did everything.
Yeah.
Right? That's a lashon in the Oshkol Siddur. Shem asa ose biyase kol ha-masim. Shem did, does, and will do everything. Eno milvador. Shem is doing everything. It's just a question of whether or not we accept it and right?
I was reading inside what tool uses the ATR, what tool and why.
Everything is perfectly calibrated. We don't see it now, right? Because if we saw it all now, we'd lose our free choice. Olam Haba, when we get there, 120. Any questions you have, you're gonna ask. You're gonna say, "When I was 16, and that really weird thing happened to me, right?" I said, "What was all that about? When that, you know, I was 16 and I had a car crash and this one and all that." And he'll show you exactly. It'll be there clear. We won't have any questions.
But if you're going through a field and all of a sudden you hear shooting starting, and see bullets coming by, you're going to push yourself into a hole to save your life.
I have a question about the 13 principles.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's appropriate. There are certain things in Navi that Hashem says it never entered into his mind until it happened. So how do we understand that within the context?
There's only a few things. He said that about the Akedah, it never entered my mind that... that you would kill your son. So it's a whole deep philosophical. It's only happened on a few occasions, and
right.
Each one is specific as to why and what it means that it never entered into his mind. For us, who aren't on the level of the Akedah, we don't need to worry about that. Yeah,
okay.
We just need to worry that. Take the simple word, pshut, simplicity, everything's good. Yes, sorry, Abraham wanted to say something.
Do you all suffer from different things?
Yes. We have to, yes.
Operations, we have this, and time for us to walk, and these are the heart is coming to the heart.
Yes.
And you know that everything that you're suffering from is from Hashem and is for the good. And we know that every suffering that we have in life is connected to a sin, to something that we're doing wrong.
Or did in the past. It doesn't have to be continued.
The only way we may be able to get rid of it is by trying to correct that thing that we weren't doing wrong or make tshuva.
Or make tshuva if it was something that we did.
Right, so look, you fell in a pit.
Yes.
Okay, well basically it's the same thing. Falling in a pit is an expression in English means that you did something wrong. You fell in a pit. There are many pits in life, holes in life that you can fall into.
Okay.
So. But the question you have to figure out what specifically, why did I go on the pit now? Why are my feet hurting now? And that's what we talk about with the shedding and our people in New York. But one of the things that you just sort of a new way to go
internet in my house. And Rav Arar said that I shouldn't have internet in my house. Maybe I could connect that to one of the things that bother me.
No, I think that's the wrong way around.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what the reason is unless we ask Hashem to show us. And if I think that if my view is that if we try to locate the two together, just and what am I doing wrong, then I'm liable to make a mistake. I think so. Look, it's never wrong to say, what am I doing wrong? Let's try and fix it. So it's never wrong to look around my house and say, what am I doing? Or look around my life. Or, right? That's called shuva. That's what we're meant to do every day and we've got to do it anyway. Right? I didn't daven with any kavanah today. I was angry at my kids today. Whatever it is that I did wrong, and do shuva on it. But I think it's the wrong way around to then say, I think if Hashem wants to show me, then Hashem has to show me. I need to work on it more. Shalom writes in Seyah that when he had the toothache, that he did his own root canal. Right? What does that mean? He went to try to find the root of why have I got a toothache, Hashem. You gave me toothache. Right? Everyone else who has a toothache, they go to the dentist and get it taken out. Right? Or fixed or whatever. Shalom said, no, I've got a toothache. This is a message from Hashem. He said he spent 6 hours until he found the answer. 6 hours of a toothache until he found the answer. Rav Shalom, right? It's not us. I don't know if you or me would last for 6 hours, right? But he said after that 6 hours, Hashem revealed it to him. And he writes there in the book. I'm not saying anything negative about my Rav. That's not he wrote before Rashi in his book. He said what Hashem illuminated his mind was the word Shinayim. In Hebrew, you arrange left, and you get Nashim, women. His Shemirat HaNayim wasn't as strong as it needed to be. There was a problem in that area, and that was that's why his teeth were hurting. Oh, that's the message he got. Right, but after 6 hours of his Vodadut. So, it depends. It depends what level one, what Hashem is trying to teach us, how much we're invested in finding the answer.
That's what he got this time in the corner. I don't know, maybe I have the story wrong too, but the story about his having a toothache, and that's how he got to the smile, and he's really smiling.
I read that.
Okay. So maybe there's two, maybe there are only two stories.
So that's what I'm saying.
A person can't use that, and I if I get a toothache, I can't think, oh, maybe I need to smile more, or maybe I'm looking at women more. Because that's not my message. It might be, but until Hashem says to me, that's my message, and I'm going to know it's right. Like when I was looking at the reason for falling in the pit, I need to lower myself, too much ga'ava. It wasn't right. It was like, yeah, it's not bad. Yeah, it's good. But it wasn't right. And then when my wife showed me that, I was like, psh, open shut case. It was like a done deal. It wasn't like, well, you know what, could be, maybe, yeah. Meaning that it was only when I recognized that was what was correct. The light bulb needs to switch on for me. Someone's telling me the story and Rabbi Avraham saying to me, you know what, my knee's hurting. And I say to him, well, you know the word knee is berech, and maybe your brachot aren't so hot. Right? If that doesn't ring a bell with you, it doesn't mean it's right. It means that it sounds nice and it could have been, but it wasn't. It didn't hit. It wasn't exactly what was going on there.
So you're saying that everything is from Hashem, so you don't attribute anything to the Yitzhar, it's all Hashem. You never say...
Hashem is a shaliach of the Yitzhar.
The Yitzhar is a shaliach of
Hashem. Yes.
Yeah.
That way. Right, yeah. Right? But to do a reason, Hashem doesn't punish us, Sam. Hashem is not... Right, if we had the mashal of a father, the best father in the world doesn't punish his son Sam. You did something naughty, whack. What was that for? I don't know, but you deserve a punishment, right? Hashem is only has one thing in mind, all good, to get us to our tikkun, to get us to better be God, to get us closer to Him, right? And everything has a purpose in achieving that. Even the Yetzirah. That could be Yetzirah. It's through the Yetzirah that we actually get to move. If it wasn't for the Yetzirah and for the stumbling, we'd never move. We'd have no motivation to do anything. I'm not gonna move in my life unless I get smacked in the back of the head. Right, there's a Gemara that says that a blade of grass does not grow without an angel standing over it and hitting it and shouting grow. Right? For a blade of grass, that needs to happen. Kol Shekhen for us, we don't move. That's just the way we're... There's a whole philosophical as to why that needs to be the case, but that's not... The point is that is the case. The Yetzer Hara, when Rachel was created, was called Tov Od. It was very good. Because it's the Yetzer Hara is what brings us actually to our Avodat Hashem, ultimately. We don't have that ability to just sit there and go, oh, let's be good today. It's usually as a result of falling. It's a result of... if everything was going fine, we don't need Hashem. A person with a six-figure bank account, with a beautiful wife, a beautiful car, shalom by it, perfectly educated kids, nothing, everything's going perfect. What does he need Hashem for?
Say thank you.
The theory, but it's not going to happen. In reality, the practice is, anyone you know with any of those things is so far away from Hashem. Mamash. Because they never, no need to turn to Hashem. When do you turn to Hashem? When do I turn to Hashem? When do we turn to Hashem? When we have a problem. That's exactly when we have a problem. We just do. And it's the problem that makes us turn to Hashem. And at the end of the day, the Navi says that when in Moshiach's time, we're going to look for the sins and we're not going to find any. Right? Not for the fact that we're going to, Nachman brings it in Lukatei Moran. It doesn't mean we're going to look for the sins and see that we're all clear and everything's wonderful, we have no sins anymore. No, we're going to look for the sins and wish we had them, because it's the sins that bring us closer to Hashem. It's only by falling that you rise, right? It's only by falling that we get up. It's only after we fall that we actually get stronger. It's only because today I missed Shacharit. I felt really bad that I'm not actually really going to just do everything today. It's only after I fall.
Then why is the goal the time of Mashiach? Because
no, in the time of the Mashiach, it's not the goal. In the time of the Mashiach, there's no more. We can't. There's no more Yetzer Hara. There's no more. Right. We can't grow anymore. This is the time for working. In the time of the Yetzer Hara, when Mashiach, we don't allow any more gayering, no converts, right? Because that's it. There's no. We draw the line. Wherever you got to, there's a different world. There's a different way of working, but the this is a time for working. When there's a Yetzer Hara free choice. Yeah.
My wife and I have a situation that, you know, I'm not quite sure how to pray on it. Is that Rabbi Kluta says to pray on it, or pray for it, or pray somehow prayer enters into the dilemma? But the dilemma is that our landlord wants to sell the building. He decided to sell the property. And we, if we took everything that we own, all the money that we have, we could buy the apartment and have nothing left for retirement. Nothing. And he, and somebody said, you know, if you have to buy it because you have to own a piece of where it just fell, that's the way it works. It's a holy thing.
I don't know. I don't know if there's no Torah obligation to own a piece of Eretz Yisrael. So you don't have to. But it's nice, and Baruch Hashem, anyone who can, it's a big merit. But there's no. It's not one of the 630.
You have to be ready to move from every place that you move to, in case the person wants to sell where we're at. You understand? And so, we're trying to find a solution. I mean, we could buy it, or we could just move.
So, I think that there is an answer. It's not a specific answer. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
No.
But I think there's an answer that is helpful for all of us in this, which is that we all face situations in life every day, big and small, which fall into the same category, which is summed up as, what am I meant to do now? Right? What am I meant to do now? Right, and whether it's right, I must miss the bus, and I need to know: should I just not bother coming in today, or should I try and get a later bus? Right, whatever that situation is, what it's not a Torah law. If it's a Torah law, and then I need to do it, it's obvious. It's not a question. It's a Torah law that says you're breaking this law, you need to do this mitzvah. Fine, I have to do it. That's the mitzvah. Right, I haven't got, do I need to buy a Lubanet truck? Yes, because you need to have a Lubanet truck. Right, it's not, there's an answer there. But hearing this question, do I buy or do I move somewhere else? There's no law, and there's no Torah law that says I need to buy. And even if there was, there's no Torah law that says I need to buy this place. Right? So even if there were, you wouldn't know that this is the... So I'm stuck in that question. But I think there is a simple answer. The simple, which is, what does Hashem want from me? What does Hashem want from me? In any of these situations, what does Hashem want me to do? Getting to that answer is tough, but it's part of the Hizbodadut. But my question is not really, what's good for me? What do I want? What do you want? Should we buy? Should we sell? Is this the best house? Is this not the best house? Is our money better used for retirement? Our money is better used... That is really, in general terms, irrelevant. The question is, what does Hashem want me to do right now? Does Hashem want me to buy the house? Does Hashem want me to save my money and put it elsewhere? Does Hashem want me to find another house which is less expensive and I'll have a little bit left over? But all the options that are available, what does Hashem want from me right now? Yes, sure.
Question. Now, if it has to do with the immortal wisdom to honor the wife, put a wife in the first place, you know what Hashem's will is for the garden of peace. But in terms of a situation like that, if you don't have the spiritual awareness,
right,
and you're not on that level in the field yet,
right, what do you do?
Yeah.
So you've only got two options, as far as I'm aware. And one is, he's got to do it, keep doing it until you get the answer. Or two, ask a Rebbe. Ask someone that you trust, and even that Rebbe probably won't tell you the answer. He'll probably, if he's a good Rebbe, he'll tell you go to the field. Why? Because Hashem is not going to put you in a test that you can't stand in. Hashem is not going to give you something that has no solution, that there's no way you could deal with. Meaning, I'm in the field and there's no answer. It's not coming to me. What should I do? Should I buy? Should I sell? Go back to the field. Don't leave the field until you have an answer. There's no way that Hashem puts me in a test that I can't handle, that I can't have an answer to, that I don't know what to do, that's outside of my capabilities of dealing with. Hashem will give me that answer. I just need to...
How do you know that you have the answer? Is it like a calm about it?
Yeah. The truth is, you know when you know. Right? And if you don't know yet, then it means I don't know yet. And I need to keep going until I know.
I can tell you.
What's a good lesson?
I can tell you a story about that. We were looking for...
I don't know if you can tell me right now. I'll be able to shout it. It's a quick one, maybe.
We were looking for a place, and I davened for 3 hours. So I said basically to Hashem, please give me a sign whether this apartment is right or wrong.
Okay.
We opened the door to the place with the realtor and with the structural engineer who was inspecting it. We opened the door, water is gushing out from the ceiling. The windows are cracking to a point where I can see it with my bad eyesight. And the toilets won't work. No, we look for another apartment. I mean, the only thing that didn't happen is a plane landing into the place. I mean, something that obvious. If you're playing for something that obvious, Hashem will help you and give you something that obvious.